Thousands of college seniors receive their diplomas this month in Rhode Island and across the nation. And thousands of them will soon have to start paying off their student loans. Rhode Island Public Radio begins a series today looking at what it's like to live with student debt. Rhode Island has one of the highest rates of student debt in the nation. The average burden on students in the class of 2012 was more than $31,000, according to a study by the Institute for College Access and Success. I spoke with the Institute's president, Lauren Asher, from her office in Oakland, California. Lauren Asher, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
In your report, The Project on Student Debt, you look at the loans students are taking out to pay for college. How have these loans been changing over the 8 years you followed this issue?
Well, more students are graduating with loans than ever before, and their average debt is higher than ever before. Nationwide, among all 2012 four-year college graduates, 71% had loans, and their average debt was $29,400.
What do you see as the major factors contributing to this rise in student debt?
Well, as college costs continue to exceed family incomes and available grant aid, more people are needing to turn to loans and, in many cases, borrow more to bridge that growing gap.
And what's the impact on graduates when they finish college with loans that can average as much as a person's yearly salary? In some cases, it's even more.
It's not just how much you owe, but the kinds of loans you have that can really affect how burdensome that debt may be. With federal loans, you have a lot of repayment options, including income-based options and things like public service loan forgiveness. Private loans don't carry any of those protections. But if you do have a lot of student debt, it can be challenging to make other financial commitments like buying a home, starting a family, saving for retirement, or starting a business, let alone saving for your own children's education.
So at what point does the cost of paying off all those student loans begin to outweigh the economic advantage for workers who have at least a bachelor's degree?
A college education is still, on average, the best investment you can make in your future. People with a college degree are much more likely to have jobs and keep jobs through things like our recent recession than those without a college degree. But if you do need to borrow to get through school, federal loans are by far the safest way to go. That's because they come with repayment options like income-driven repayment plans that can cap your payments based on your earnings and adjust if your earnings go up and down from year to year. They also provide a light at the end of the tunnel by forgiving any remaining debt if you haven't been able to pay it all down in 20 or 25 years.
Now, Lauren Asher, your most recent report on college debt singles out Rhode Island as one of 10 high-debt states where the average student has to borrow more than the national average to pay for college. Why do you think it's higher in Rhode Island than elsewhere?
Rhode Island has the fifth highest average debt in the country, and it also has more college graduates leaving school with loans than the national average. One of the reasons is that a higher share of Rhode Island's four-year college grads are coming from private colleges, which typically have higher borrowing rates and higher debt levels, but don't always. In Rhode Island, graduates of public colleges are also more likely to have student loans and have higher average debt than public college graduates nationwide.
So should the state be concerned about this? I mean, are there implications, for example, for the state's economy?
It depends on how many graduates are staying in Rhode Island and how much debt they have, whether it's in private or federal loans. Federal loans are much easier to manage. Private loans, you're really at the mercy of your lender if you hit a rough patch. And certainly, states should be looking at how they're financing their public colleges and the aid they're making available, especially to low-income students who are the most likely to have loans and tend to owe more at graduation than other students.
There are so many ins and outs to this system. You mentioned there are private loans, there are federal loans, there are a lot of different repayment options. Is this system fair to students? Do they know what they're getting into when they take out these loans?
There's no question that students and families need better, reliable, and more comparable information about what college might cost and what their borrowing options are before they commit to a school or to a loan. There are now more tools than ever to help give an idea of what a particular school might cost you, but your financial aid offer letter from a particular school at this point is not legally required to even tell you how much the total cost of attendance is or to distinguish federal loans from private loans.
That's concerning.
Yes.
And your organization's research shows that default rates are rising too.
Federal student loan default rates have been rising in recent years, and even for students who entered repayment after the income-based plans became widely available. And one of the things that can be done to address that is making sure that they know about their repayment options when they need the information. For the first time last year, the Department of Education reached out to borrowers who were showing signs of financial distress to make sure they knew about more affordable repayment options. And there has been an increase in usage.
How many people die without paying back their student loans?
I don't have data on that. But federal student loans are discharged on the borrower's death. Private student loans are not always discharged. It depends on the contract.
So if your spouse were to die and they had private loans, you could potentially be on the hook for that money?
Yes, and if you have co-signers, they remain on the hook.
Well, Lauren Asher, president of the Institute for College Access and Success, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Sure. Thanks.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.